I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Amen.
And say amen to
Amen. Oh, amen. Are you excited to be in the house of God? Are you excited to be in the house of God? I don't know about you, but this is the favorite part. Amen. This is my favorite part of the service. Amen. Let's put our hands together as we rise up to our feet and we welcome our Father, our prophet, our pastor, the most anointed preacher in Los Angeles. Amen. Apostle Joel.
After that, Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for a brand new Sunday morning. Your mercies are new every morning. And so we know that as we stand before you today, we can count on your mercies. We can count on your mercy to forgive us.
Yes.
Your mercy to pardon us, Lord. Your mercy to show us kindness and favor, even where we don't deserve it, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your mercy will be extended towards us for receiving and for hearing and understanding your word. We pray for the spirit of conviction by the Holy Ghost. And we pray that you give us grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. I pray that you will expand and enlarge our understanding and make us stronger Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you may be seated and God bless you already. Amen. Right. It's good to be here again. Amen. And last Sunday, I was not here because I was away, amen, in Venezuela, and where we were having a pastor's conference called Fulfill Your Ministry Conference in two different cities. And so that was a blessing. Amen. And maybe down the line I'll show you some of the photos from that place. Hallelujah. And then yesterday we were in Austin, Texas, having Titus in Crete meeting for our pastors in the Texas area. And we finished early this morning. Then we got on the plane and came, and we are here in church. Amen. So it's a blessing. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Tell your neighbor it's a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And tell the neighbor, I am looking forward to the day when you will be traveling up and down doing stuff for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So, I want to share with you, I think before I left, we were talking about tithing, right? And then last week, Bishop was speaking to us about tithing, isn't it? So it's a season for it. It's a season for that message, amen? And today I just want to share just a little bit with you on the same subject, and then we will close. Hallelujah. Right. So I want to share with you about the curses that follow non-tithers. Hallelujah. Yeah, the curses that follow non-tithers. Now, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." Wow. Tell your neighbor, wow. "Ye are cursed with a curse." Did you see that? It says, "Ye are cursed with a curse." Why? "For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Amen. So, robbing God or stealing from God is a reason why a person can engage or activate a curse. Amen. Now, when people are cursed, what are some of the manifestations or expressions of that curse? Number one, a common manifestation of curses in a person's life is that that person experiences persistent frustration. Persistent frustration. The person seems to experience one frustrating situation after another. You know, and sometimes we call such people unlucky. And we say that this person either ran out of luck or this person has some bad omen following him, or this person has some, you know, if they're from where I come from, then we're going to trace one of their grandparents and say that some grandmother somewhere is causing this person not to be successful. Hallelujah. Number two, a person who is cursed is someone who is often below in everything. Person is below, he's down in everything. Everything. They go to school, don't do well. They go to work, they don't do well. You know, they're just down in everything. Right? Number three, a person who's cursed is someone on whom a specific evil has been invoked. A specific evil has been invoked. Then another manifestation is a person who is plagued with mysterious freak incidents. Have you ever seen anything like that where, you know, it's like this person, you know, what is wrong? Something is not right. Because not only do bad things happen to the person, but their type of bad things are freakish. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, why, you know, some things happen and you just wonder, why would something like that happen to someone? Why not just a milder version or a more straightforward version? You know, sometimes people are telling a story about their lives and, you know, the twists and turns in the story, even you can't believe it. And you think they are making it up, and yet they're telling you the truth. Hallelujah. But that will not be your story in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Persistent failure is another one. Persistent rejection is another one. Persistent rejection. Rejection. You know, people who are often in relationships, and just before it becomes what it must become, then it seems to disappear, seems to dissolve, seems to just vanish. There's a sudden loss of interest in the person, and the relationship does not mature into what they were hoping it would become, you know. And that seems to happen persistently, you see, because there is a version of that that is just natural. Because when people are in a relationship, you know, they don't really know who they are relating with. The relationship is what gives you permission or puts you in good proximity to the person and helps you make that decision as to whether you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life or not. Are you understanding my message? You're so quiet. Really? Daniel, should I believe that? I should believe it. All right. Okay, I'll believe it. Wonderful. Amen. Yeah. So when people are in a relationship, what they're doing is they have put themselves, because you see, when you are there and I'm here, there's only so much you can know about me, isn't it? And there's only so much you can see and so on. Usually, you will see the best parts of me, because everybody puts their best foot forward in a relationship, especially pre-relationship. You get it? Yes. Now, when you get into a relationship with someone, then they move a step closer. Do you get it? Even then, most people still have their best foot forward. But if you look closely, you will see that they are hiding another one. It's there. It's just not landed. It is when people marry that they land fully. When they marry, then they arrive fully. Just for balance and stability, because no one can keep standing on one foot forever, even if it's their best foot. Do you understand? That's why there are surprises in marriage. But if you relate well enough, usually the surprises can be minimized a bit. You know, you can reduce it, because, like Bishop says, there's the concept of the seesaw, that what you would be seeing would be what you saw. You get it? Yeah. You see, some time ago, there used to be a version of photographs called negatives. Okay, so when you looked at a negative, you know, which was like a like kind of film, yeah, you got a vague idea of what the thing looked like. It just didn't come in color. You get it? So you wouldn't know that it's black or white. You know, but you would just get a vague idea of what it is. And so if you relate properly, at least you can get the negatives. Do you see what I'm saying? Then after the wedding, you get the full color. Hallelujah. But the pictures will be good in your case. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right. You know. So I was saying that you see that there are some people who enter one relationship after the other. And each time they seem to be robbed of the fruit of it, which is what it must lead to. That seems to elude them. And they're not able to, you know, process the relationship into what it must become. But that will not be your story. Amen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right? You're, the fact that you're learning these things doesn't mean it's your story. You're just learning. Do you understand? You're learning and you're knowing so that you can be a good minister. You can explain to somebody because this will be far from you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are a blessed person in the name of Jesus. I said you are a blessed person. I declare that you are a blessed person in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not a pastor of cursed people. So if I am your pastor, then you are blessed. I said you are blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. So we blessed people are learning about what curses like in people. Hallelujah. Amen. A person who is never chosen is another one. Never chosen. Never chosen. You will be chosen. Yeah, you will be chosen. Wherever you offer yourself, you will be the preferred one. You will be the selected one. Hallelujah. And next one is a person who is unable to redirect his life in a positive direction. It's like the life is uncontrollably headed south. It's just going down and the person is going in the wrong direction and no attempt to redirect it seems to work. You see, sometimes it happens to people when they are driving and you can see that the car is skidding in a certain direction and then you try to correct the steering and the car just seems to be going in that direction. Nothing you do or nothing which is within your control, which should ordinarily allow you to control the car. No, all those things are not working. The brakes are failing. I mean, when, especially in snow, you know, when you see the vehicle sliding in on the ice and you see that the driver is helpless and the car is just sliding in some direction, the two things he has, the brakes and the steering wheel, and those two things are not responding to his best effort. You know, jams the brakes and the car won't stop. And he's turning the car to the left and the car wouldn't stop. To the right, it wouldn't stop. And they don't know what to do. But you will know what to do in the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Then a person who is bereft of critically important information, you know, because everybody's life is a function of what you know, isn't it? Yes, the Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge. Jesus was rebuking some people for taking away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge means the key, you know, of knowledge means the key. Knowledge is a key. Do you understand? Yeah, and keys open doors. And doors lead to places. Are you getting it? So when you don't have the key, you cannot open the door. And if you can't open the door, you can't enter the place. And so to enter any place in life, you need the key of knowledge that opens the door to that place. Can I have an amen? You need to know. You need to have knowledge. And so when you're missing the information and missing the knowledge and missing what you must know, then that's how you get locked out of places in life. Every place that you have been locked out of is being opened to you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And then a person who is consistently assigned to the bad option. Always assigned to the bad option. You know? And then a person who only encounters bad people. And then a person who is always last and ends up as the loser no matter how he starts. See, these are fantastic things that happen to people, but they will not happen to any of my church members in the name of Jesus. Amen? Right. So, what are some of the curses then that follow people who do not pay tithe? Now, the Bible says, read that scripture again. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Amen. So people who are not faithful in tithing and in offerings set themselves up, you know, to fit what the scripture is talking about. It says that you have robbed God, and that has caused you to be cursed with a curse. Why? For ye have robbed me. Isn't that what it says? Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me. You know, you are cursed with a curse because you have robbed me, even this whole nation, you know. And that can be the reason why a door can open into an otherwise blessed person's life. Do you see? Because they have allowed themselves to fit this particular description. Hallelujah. But no such door will be open because you are going to be an obedient tither in the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, another curse that comes on such people is the curse that comes on thieves. Right? The curse that comes on thieves. Now, there is a special curse on people who steal. Okay? Yes, the Bible talks about curses that come upon people who steal. Thieves in general are cursed. Hallelujah. See, if you even think about it naturally, for someone to use his effort, his labor, his knowledge, his connections, his strength to gather anything, and for you to come and take it away from him without his permission, you get it? Or to put him under some kind of deception so that you'll be able to take away from him something he would otherwise not give to you in his right mind. Wow. Do you understand? How can there not be a curse with that? How can there not be a curse for you to take the fruit of someone's labor? Someone has sweated in this earth that is cursed, you see, which does not yield or answer to anything unless you sweat. This earth that does not produce anything, even after you have tilled it, the Bible says it gives forth thorns and thistles. And when someone has struggled and worked and worked and worked and worked and has been able to get something small out of the ground, then you will come and use deception, use violence, you know, use stealth, tricks, and different things, and you come and take away the thing from that person. How can you not be cursed? I mean, just common sense. Don't even spiritualize this yet. Just think about it. How can something negative not follow you? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's even before you apply the Bible to it. That stealing brings curses on people. Try not to steal. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Try not to steal, not even meat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Try hard not to be a thief. Tell your neighbor, all stealing stops from today. Hallelujah. All stealing stops from today. Hallelujah. Those of you who steal from work, you get it? Steal the paper, steal the office pins, the paper clips, what else? The ink, the office coffee, the office milk, office sugar, what? Paper cups. You see, and you're bringing curses upon yourself for stealing things that cost nothing. Yeah. And some people are tricked into stealing because they judge the seriousness of it by the value of what they are taking. Do you see what I'm saying? And because it doesn't look like it's much. But you should judge it by, why don't you want anyone to see you? That's how you should know that you're doing something wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the boss was standing right next to you, would you be stuffing all those paper cups in your bag? You get it? Would you? Why do you have to bring your bag to the kitchen, you know, and you wait when everyone is gone, and that's when you bring the bag to the kitchen, and then you stuff. And why did you even change the bag in the morning? Because you remembered as you were going to work that today is Friday, and today you need to come home. Yeah. So then you change your bag into a little shopping bag. You see, so you don't judge. It's not right or wrong based on the value. You get it? But it's, you see, the word is steal. The word is steal, and it comes from the word stealth. Do you get it? See, like the military has stealth aircraft. You're talking about an aircraft that comes to you without you knowing. Do you understand? So it incubates the element of secrecy. It's the fact that you don't want it to be known. That's where the stealing is. It's not about what it is. You get it? It's the fact that it has to be hidden to happen. Do you see? So anything that has to be hidden to happen is stealing. You get it? And you can steal anything, even including somebody's beloved. Yeah, someone's beloved. Yeah, someone's beloved. You can steal someone's beloved. Yeah, you get it? You're talking and chatting with someone's beloved, you know, and the fact that you don't want them to know, that's where the stealing is. Yeah, that's where the stealing is. Yeah. Excuse me. He's coming. Call you back. You are stealing. Hallelujah. And the Bible shows us clearly that when people steal, they engage curses. You know, look at it in Zechariah Say, oh, Apostle, this one is Old Testament. So is the creation story. Creation story is Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, all those people are Old Testament. David, Old Testament. Psalm 23, Old Testament. Everything is Old Testament. Yeah. You see? It says in verse 5 of Zechariah chapter, no, verse 3 of Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth. Now, did you see that? It said, this is a curse that has been, is going forth over the face of the whole earth. Do you understand? Now, one of the things that, you know, universal crime. Universal crimes is stealing. I don't think there is any society in the world that celebrates stealing. Isn't it? Yeah. That's why there's a prison in every place. He says, this is the curse that goeth forth over the whole, the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. Right? Verse 4. Then he says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief. So a curse will enter your house. I mean, a few paper cups that you can even afford, because some people actually steal out of habit.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
They just, they don't, it's the, you know, the other day I was just watching something on I think it was on YouTube or maybe on CNN or something, one of those. You know, this fellow had gone into a shop. It was actually a lady, and she had gone into a shop. You wouldn't believe how many bottles of wine she had managed to, you know. See, not every big person is really big. This person was swelling up, not knowing it was bottles of wine. And she had gone into the shop, and she had some there, and she had some there. And you know, why do you even do this? But I tell you, a lot of people who do things like that don't need to. They just do it as a hobby. Yeah, it's a hobby that becomes a habit, or a habit that becomes a hobby. They just enjoy. There's a thrill, I mean, from being able to take something or like to be able to outwit the security or something. But it's demons. It's demons. Demons, because you notice, you watch carefully people who steal. Even people who steal like government funds and, you know, things like that. And you watch the end of it. You watch the end of it and you realize that it never really becomes genuine prosperity. It never really becomes any prosperity that the person truly enjoys. That's why I'm saying you need to watch stealing, because a small thing that you are stealing may be introducing a curse into your life. It may be taking much more out of your life than what you stole is bringing into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Look at it. It says, the curse shall enter, it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely, you know, by my name. Because, you know, the person is saying, I swear it's true. And he's lying. Is it true? It's the truth. I swear. Then some people take the Bible. It's the truth. They put their right hand on it. I swear that everything I say is the truth. This is nothing but the truth. So help me God. Help me God to lie. Do you understand? And what they're about to say is just lies. They're lying. You get it? So those, and most thieves are liars, because you need to be a good liar if you're going to have a successful stealing career. And most liars are thieves, because lying is a good accessory to stealing. You need to be good at lying. You need to be good at making false impressions, at making things look like they're not, at pretending. You see, that's why he's saying a person who sweareth, like you make a statement with confidence and strength and you want others to rely on it, and there's nothing under it. It's not true. And he says, this him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So it is going to the foundation of the house. And the house is this here. Is, you see, house is symbolic. House means the family. You get it? Because when they say the house of Aaron, it's not just referring to Aaron's structure, building, you see, but you're talking about Aaron's family. Do you see? Yeah. And so some of us are inheriting frustrations because a curse entered a house out of which we are coming from. Do you understand? Yeah, because there's a curse in the house because somebody somewhere was a thief. But you can break that by introducing a blessing into that same house. Hallelujah. Yeah. I hope you know what I'm talking about or can relate with it. I'm explaining life. That's all I'm trying to do. Some of these problems that seem to repeat themselves. Even you know that there's something unnatural about this. I mean, why is it happening to everyone? Why is it, you know, my cousins, my sisters, my, you know, aunties, everybody has that same problem. Everyone has that same difficulty. I mean, some curse has tried to enter the house. And it says, look, the curse is coming for everybody, including the timber, which is the frame and the foundation of the house. You get it? It's coming for everyone. It's going to apply to everyone. You know, people who lie and people who steal. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, no more lying and no more stealing. It's not worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said that it will bring it forth and it shall be in their house. So you can imagine, this is just the ordinary curse for the thief. This is just a normal, this is not a professional thief. This is just the guy who's just doing it. Is it an amateur type of thief? Who's a recreational thief, isn't it? Yeah, a recreational type of thief. A lay thief. Okay, you see. So then you have the guy who takes it one notch up. Okay, who goes beyond stealing from people and wants to take on God. You see, and wants to steal from God himself. You see, and God is shocked. That's why the verse is saying, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? I mean, hey. This is like, what a shock. Will a man rob God? You are a man. You are robbing God. Sometimes you see little kids beating their moms. See, a little baby like that is upset with their mama. You know, and you see the mother is just looking at the child, just like, you are just a little baby. If I don't feed you, you are done. You know. So one little kid fighting with his dad, and then his dad just holds him by one hand and lifts him up like that. Then his legs is just hanging. And so God says, will a man, a person whose breath is in his nostrils, just round here. I saw a movie the other day, some people were killing someone and were, you know, suffocating the person, just choking. They just put a pillow on his face and they just pressed it. And the person was kicking for a few minutes, 1, 2, 3, and the person, that's it. It's finished. Just something that's going through your nostrils is keeping you alive and somebody stops it and it's finished. Oh, so frail. So God said, will a man? You're going to steal and your target is God. What is wrong with you? He says, but ye have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. And then he says, because of that, you are cursed. What's that verse, the next one? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you today to be very careful when it comes to tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. Some people don't give God their tithe and they say God understands. Say God understands. See, that's why he says the word is robbed. Robbed. Robbed is advanced stealing. Normal stealing, like I said, there is a cover. You don't want the person to know. And you say, Pastor Charles, can you see Daniel? Can you see what Daniel is doing? You know, and then as he's watching Daniel, you need to sort of distract him and then you take it from him. But when you're robbing someone, that's why most robbery is violent. Because the person is seeing you and you are saying, I'm taking this from you. And if you don't give it to me, right? So then he reluctantly gives it to you. He can see clearly what you are doing because you cannot hide from God. The Bible says the eyes of God are everywhere. How are you going to steal from God? You can't steal from, you can only rob him. Do you understand? Yeah, you can only take from him, you know, you can only take from him what he can clearly see you taking. And he says, when people do not pay their tithe, that's what they're doing. They are robbing him. They are robbing him. And the consequence is that you are cursed with a curse. If you don't believe this, we might as well forget about the creation story. Old Testament. All of them, Old Testament. Yeah. Psalm 23, Old Testament. Everything is Old Testament. Hallelujah. Ye are cursed with a curse because ye robbed me. Hallelujah. Be careful not to rob God. Be determined not to rob God. It is not worth it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, you see, and God can call it robbery because he says your tithe is not yours. Do you understand? He says it is God's property. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27 verse 30 says, it says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree. So it means no matter what the source, isn't it? It says, is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. Isn't it? It's the Lord's. There is a way that what seems to belong to you actually belongs to the Lord. There's a way that what has arrived in your hand, what has come to you, actually is not for you. What do you think?
Yeah.
If you judge what belongs to you by what has come to you, you're making a mistake. Because there are things that come to you that don't belong to you. Do you understand? See, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Luke 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Look at that verse. It says, "And if ye have not been faithful, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own?" Do you see? So you can see that that which is your own still has to be given to you. Means it's not in your hands. Isn't it? Yeah. So it means that the stuff that belongs to you is in somebody's hands. It belongs to you. It's in somebody's hands. And he says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, which means there's something with you that also belongs to someone. Isn't it? Yeah. So we don't judge what belongs to us by what has come to us. Otherwise, what right has Uncle Sam to even tax you? And when you don't pay it, come after you and put you in jail. How can he put you in jail for money that you have earned? You have gone to work and you have earned it. Do you understand? Yeah. And when you tell him, "I earned this much," he wants to investigate to see whether it's true. What has it got to do with him? It's money that was paid to you. But he says, yes, to you. It's in your hands, but it is mine. Amen. That is how authority works. And God says, yes, it came to you, but the tithe of it, it belongs to me. It does not belong to you. Hallelujah. Get used to it. Get used to it. And start making that calculation. This is how I know God wants everybody to know at least some math. You get it? So if you are skipping math classes, you're going to run into trouble with God very soon. Because God wants you to be able to calculate at least the tithe. You must know what the tenth is, what 10% is. It belongs to God, does not belong to you. Hallelujah. And some people come up with all sorts of theories and do all sorts of studies just to get out of this one thing, only this one thing. I don't know why they don't study other things in the Bible. Why don't you study salvation? Yeah? Why don't you study blessings? Yeah? How to preach salvation. I mean, how to save sinners. This is the main reason why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come and make us pay tithe. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to the earth. Jesus told us himself why he came. He said, "For this reason, the Son of Man came." That he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." This is according to the Son of Man himself who has come. Isn't it? Yeah. And John 3:16 tells us, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have." Then verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world, but..." Right. So this is the main reason why Jesus came. And even that you have not studied it. This tithe that is just by the way. You get it? Just something that we are doing. You get it? That's what you have gone to study. You become an Old Testament expert. Only on tithe. And you have skipped all the verses from Old Testament, Genesis, all the way to come in. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. There's something wrong with you, honestly. Yeah. And you are now bringing all these theories because you don't want to give a tenth. You don't want to give a tenth. God has blessed you. and you don't want to give anything. You get it? You are ungrateful. You think it belongs to you, and you want to take what belongs to you plus what belongs to God. And even Uncle Sam does not take that lightly.
Yeah.
That look, you are supposed to keep what belongs to you.
Yeah.
But what belongs to me, don't take it.
Yeah.
Don't take it. And I tell you, he will go any length with you, any distance with you. He would go to prove to you that it belongs to him.
Yeah.
And you took it. He would, look, sometimes Uncle Sam can call on people.
Yeah.
We're in 2017.
Yeah.
He will call on them and say, you know something, I just remembered. I think in 2010 or 11.
2002.
Go and bring the papers. I need to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even where you were working back, you don't even work there anymore. You get it? Yeah. But he says, listen, you go and bring those papers because look, it belongs to me. He said, I think you have taken something that belongs to me. I tell you. And he's going to harass you. I know some people, they used to live here. And then they relocated out of the country. They went to another place, lived there for maybe about 6 years or so, you know, and they came back. I think somebody told Uncle Sam, as they entered, the guys are back. They were surprised. When they arrived, they went to general, you know, they went to the office, they sort of renewed their driver's license and so on. Then they had an address. They were surprised that their first letter came from Uncle Sam. It was not a welcome letter. It was, can we discuss? Yes. There's something. We need to discuss it. They couldn't believe it. Yeah, he says, you owe me. It is mine. It is mine. Now look, if Uncle Sam will not leave it, no matter what your explanation is, he would not leave it. You tell him I had a baby. So he says, so what? You said you told him I'm relocated. I was not even in the country. So what? He says, no, it is mine. It is mine. It is mine. It is mine. It is not yours. That's what it's about. It's not yours. It's not yours. That is what it's about. Hallelujah. That's why I'm saying you need to respect other people's property.
Yes.
Respect what belongs to another person.
Yes.
If the relationship belongs to another person, respect it. Don't take it. It's not yours. Do you understand? Somebody's husband, somebody's wife. Hey, somebody has gone to pay and you want to take. So, but she's not very nice to him. So what? It's not yours. That's what it's about. It's not yours.
Leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
It's not yours.
You have the receipt.
That's the whole point. It's not yours. It's all about it's not yours. If you go to Uncle Sam and you start to explain, you know, it's the circumstances. You know, my car broke down. That's why. That's not what we are discussing. It's about ownership. It's not yours. It's mine. You get whatever reason you had for taking it. But it's still mine. It's still mine. And because it's yours, I tell you, he'll demand it. Yeah. He may give you time to pay. But he won't change his mind that it belongs to him. Yeah.
Amen.
So things that belong to people, you have to be careful. Amen?
Amen?
You have to be careful when you're dealing with things that belong to people. Because it takes a person's life to have anything.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. So the two of them are quarreling. So I can sneak in.
Hey.
You know, it's not as simple as that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not my fault. He comes after me. So what should I do? If somebody loves you, you got to love them back. You know? All I'm doing, I'm not the one initiating anything. All I'm doing is I'm just returning love, you know. And I'm a human being. If I was even a puppy, if you loved me, I would wag my tail at least and love you back. You get it? I'm a human being. So if you love me, don't do things like that, because a curse will enter your house, Your curse will enter your house. Hallelujah. Any curse that has entered your house through stealing, as you are repenting today, that curse is on its way out in the name of Jesus. Anything that has entered your life because of ignorance and because of your recklessness has been exited in the name of Jesus. We cause that thing to leave your house and leave your life forever in the name of Jesus. There will be no more stealing. And no more taking things that don't belong to you. No more lying to justify the stealing. Hallelujah. And God's blessing will be upon you. Hallelujah. God is going to bless you. You'll be able to, you'll be able to afford paper cups.
Amen.
You buy them in boxes.
Amen.
Yes, and you'll be using them. Oh, paper clips. You get it. You don't need to go and lie. You don't need to go and pretend. Do you understand? Yeah. You will not need to pretend you are sick, pretend you are dead. You don't have to pretend. No, we once had a church member in one of our churches. He went to tell his pastor that his wife is dead. Can you believe that? The person wanted to get some money from the church. And he went to the pastors and he said to them, Mary, can you believe it? He said to them that you know, my wife, she died. Your wife is alive. And because of a small amount of money you want to get out of the church, you get it? It's insane. You're going to bring a curse into your house. You probably make the person now die. But that will not happen to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Then verse 28, it says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Hallelujah. If you need anything, ask. Amen? Just ask. Don't steal. Hallelujah. If you need anything, just ask. If you need it from God, just ask. If it's something a human being can give to you, just ask. Hallelujah. Don't steal it, because the curse that comes to your house will not be worth whatever you stole. It's not fair on yourself. Amen. So bow your heads with me, everybody, and just pray and say, Lord, forgive me for any stealing and lying I've been engaged in. Forgive me. Taking what does not belong to me. Forgive me. Any curse, forgive me, Lord, and deliver me from any curse that has entered my life because of stealing. Any curse that has entered my life because of stealing, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, for I liberate myself from the power of any curse that hovers around me, that has a legitimate reason to be in my life, that has a basis for being around, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Confess that sin. You know, confess that stealing. If you are aware of it, confess it and say, Lord, forgive me. I recognize this as stealing. I recognize this as being wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. And I will not partake of it. I want to be blessed. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich, but stealing will never make you rich. The blessing of the Lord will enhance your life. It will help you. But stealing will only take you down. Cheating people will only take you down.
taking things that belong to other people will take you down. And of course, stealing from God will also take you down. But the blessing of the Lord will lift you up. The blessing of the Lord will promote you. It will push you forward. It will cause you to search forward. The blessing of God will do that for you. But stealing will not do that. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you today for your word, and thank you for the instruction, the admonition not to steal from you. I pray for all your sons and daughters, and I pray for forgiveness. I pray that the blood of Jesus will wash us and cleanse us from the effect of stealing. Years, months, weeks of stealing and taking things that don't belong to us, especially things that belong to you. I pray, Lord, that you will take away stealing from among us and bless your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to bring this to everyone. Let's have communion before we close.
Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. And drink, Jesus, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This cup of blessing that we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, came down from heaven, and it will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Hallelujah. Today, as we receive the communion is breaking curses. Hallelujah. See, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 2, the Bible says, as the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Means the medium by which curses enter into people's lives is when there is a cause. If you give it a reason to be there, it will always be there, no matter what prayers are prayed. Do you see what I'm saying? You eliminate the reason, or a higher power pardons it, then it goes away. Hallelujah. Amen. It's like you can't go to a prison and just let people out because you like them. Because, you know, if there's a reason for them to be there, you need a higher power to pardon them. Amen. You need a higher power to say, you did it, and I forgive you. Hallelujah. And usually that is preceded by acknowledging it. Do you understand? That's why the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. But you must say, I did it. You must say, it's true. You must say, I'm guilty. Are you getting it? Yes.
You must not gloss over it. You must not pretend it's not there. You must not cover it, but rather acknowledge it. The Bible says, whoever hides his sins will not prosper, but the one who confesses and forsakes it, he shall obtain mercy. After all, you are just a human being. You are just a human being. You made a mistake. That's what it is. But if you say, yes, I did it. Yes, I did it. But when you say, no, it's not me. No, what's he talking about? Who told him that? What about this? But it's not true. It's Old Testament. It's this. All these kinds of things rather make the curse linger. And they make the things stick on us and stick around us, which should not be there. Things that should not be with us are still with us. And sometimes it looks like we have gone to church, we have prayed, and things didn't happen. Well, things don't just stop happening. Do you understand? If the bird keeps flying, it will arrive there. It will always arrive at a destination. You hear it? The flying has to stop. Then the bird will not come. Do you see? But if the bird is allowed to fly, it will come. And the Bible says, if the cause is allowed to exist, the curse will come. Hallelujah. So today, as you get ready to take the communion, I want you to see a solution in your hand. Amen. And say that you have the solution. You have the answer. The answer is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus washes sins. The blood of Jesus, it liberates. It sets people free from anything that holds them in bondage. And today you are being set free and being released from any curse that has come upon you from your own actions or the actions of your family members and from people whose lives run into yours one way or the other and whose lives affect yours. You are being set free from any such curse in the name of Jesus. Curses from ancestors and older family members and other people, people you have worked with, siblings, family, friends, associations, curses that have been released into your life for these reasons, you are being set free from them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your prayer with me and say, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. And thank you especially for the power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the liberating power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the sin cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the curse removing power in the blood of Jesus. That if we confess our sins, this blood is able to wash and cleanse us and make us white as snow. Thank you for your blessing, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless this cup. This is a cup of blessing. This is a cup of blessing which will neutralize every curse that is active in our lives. Any curse that is active in any area of our lives is neutralized through the encounter with this cup in the name of Jesus. As this cup is consumed, this cup will consume every curse that still lingers in the name of Jesus. It will disable it. It will disable it. Curses are being disabled in the name of Jesus. The curse of sickness, the curse of rejection, loneliness, confusion, unhappiness, perpetually experiencing misfortunes, all of that is canceled in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is confronting it today in the name of Jesus. Whatever its manifestation is, today is its last day. I declare that today is its last day. No matter how it expresses itself,
no matter how it came to be, in the name of Jesus and by the power in his blood, the curse is terminated today in the name of Jesus. The curse of poverty, the curse of misfortune, the curse that keeps you down all the time, the curse that makes you always suffer some plague, freak accidents and different sorts of things that people cannot even explain, in the name of Jesus. The encounter with the blood of Jesus this morning is neutralizing it, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and thank the Lord. Just begin to thank him. Say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for liberating me. I am not a thief. I am not a thief. And I'm not a liar. Thank you, Lord. No more lies. No more stealing. Just honesty and sincerity. Lord God, thank you. I will not make a way for the devil in my life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. One more time, everybody. Hallowed be, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. As we bring the service to a close this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to reconnect with God. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you're watching us on the web or on Facebook, but you know in your heart you're not born again. Or that you're backsliding, that your heart has turned away from God. And God is calling you back to himself today. God is bringing you back to himself. This is your opportunity. You can't let it pass you by. I want you to lift up your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus, just so I can see it. And I want to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anyone here like that? And if you're not here and you are online, then I want you to join us as we say this prayer. And I want everybody to say this prayer with me, even right here. Say, Lord Jesus,
Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I am a sinner. Say, I agree with your word that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. The wages of sin is death. That means I'll go to hell if I die. But Lord Jesus, I believe in your provision. I believe you died on the cross for my sake. That if I would receive you, you would wash my sins away. So Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And you may be seated, please. You may be seated.